Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, as we do come to you this morning now and open your word again, Father, we look to you, we rely on your input, Lord. Please send your Holy Spirit to open these scriptures to us and open our hearts to them, O Lord. God, that we would not be rebellious toward you, that we would not find it difficult, O Lord, if we shift our ideas, O Lord, to your way of thinking, O Lord. And God, that we would be submitted to your word, O Lord, submitted to you in our entire lives. God, have your work in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to continue this week on looking at 2 Timothy chapter 3. So if we could turn there, we'll just do a real quick review and go on with those other couple of things. That be nationally or maybe not. I heard in the United Emirate Republic, I guess, way out in the Middle East, a very, very wealthy, tiny, tiny little country there with lots and lots of oil. It's almost like an island of oil. They put up a Christmas tree this year. They said, and it's really good. It's Rockefeller Center quality, they said. Whole thing, you know, here we are right in the middle of a Muslim nation, and they put up a big tree and call it a Christmas tree. Wow, and here in the United States, they're fighting over it. You know, here in a Christian country, where it's always been even tradition, they're fighting over that. What kind of world are we living in? You know, what kind of forces are afoot? But you know, that's the kind of people in the last days, right? And, you know, verse 5, it says here, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You know, that verse has always just made me wonder, having a form of godliness, but denying the power, don't lose it. And if you have, go back there. Go back there. It's so essential. The relationship with Jesus Christ is not a religion, it's a relationship. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know, it's love that has driven God to make the sacrifice that he has made for us because he loves us so much and he wants the love of us toward him too. Otherwise we can fall into that, you know, and we can. And I think, I'll bet you every one of us has some churches or denominations or something that we feel may have fallen into that already. You know, and with the times going the way they are and just how the world tends to rationalize things and how the world seeps into the church, how to get back in there. But, you know, I was down to like 2 weeks of unemployment left and my checks were like $195 a week or something. And I was in church and I thought, you know, I'm just not going to make it. There aren't any jobs to be had here. And that's when I started tithing. I thought, I don't have it anyhow. This $200 isn't going to take me, or the next $400 in the end of the gravy train, so to speak. So I put a $20 bill in the collection box. You know, it was my first little step of faith or something. And you know, that's what we have to come to, that same conclusion. Wait a minute, we're not going to make it anyhow. The well, our well, this earthly well is going to run dry. Our life, we will never be able to supply all our needs. We'll never be able to find the way. And if we do, it's going to be a dead end at death anyhow. We need to trust God. We need to reach out for Him. We need to open our heart. We need to sacrifice. We need to repent. We need to get on our knees. We need to humble ourselves before God. We need again to love Him and to worship Him, to praise His name. We need to come into His presence like we maybe did in the past. But that's what God is asking for. You know, we just need to see how useless and hopeless this world really is. And you know, I think it's a wonderful opportunity God is giving us with all the bad things that are going around or sayings, right? And you know, some of it's really true. What do you do, you know? When I got out of the Navy, I couldn't find a job for a full year. It was a long time. Fortunately, I had the GI Bill, so I started to go to school after, you know, I got out in November, and I think the next fall I finally got to school, you know. At least that was some income, and then it was working towards something good, you know, with that. But I tell you what, you know, life does have its setbacks, and it does have its fearful things, and you know, we're really here in flesh and blood. We really have to eat food, you know, things like that. But even in that, trust the Lord. He will make a way. He will. He will. Don't let your religion, don't let it be just an empty straw man, right? Just something that gets pushed over with the first trial, with the big things. You know, remember a few weeks ago I preached out of Jeremiah that if he was having trouble, you know, with the footmen, how was he going to keep up when the horsemen showed up, right? You know? And, you know, I tell you, in our life, isn't that the truth? Man, if times are going to get rough, if Paul here is calling the last days perilous times shall come, you know, we need to get built up in that now. We need to be walking with the Lord and not allow ourselves to fall into boredom or apathy with God. You know, don't allow yourself to remember that, yeah, it's some old package I got in the back closet. I'll pull out God when I need Him, if I need Him, if I can find that package. Where did I leave that? You know, I tell you what, there are times when, you know, you leave God alone, you'll have a hard time finding Him when you need Him. It pays to be faithful. It really does. I mean, that sounds like a selfish thing, but it does pay to be faithful. It really does to have that relationship with God. And remember, life isn't about you. That's another thing. It's not about us, right? It's about how we can be ambassadors for Christ. It's about giving glory to God day by day. It's about being about God's business and being His ambassador and being His hands for other people. It's about giving away what God has given you. Wow, you know, Christmas is a good time to talk like that, isn't it? There's opportunity. There is. Day by day, there's opportunity for us to give ourselves up. Spend your life. Spend it. Remember when President Bush, right after 9/11 there, he made some very wise decisions and he gave some very good speeches and his popularity was very high. And you know what? Come next election, he went and spent some of that political clout he had. He spent it campaigning for others, right? You know, in our life too, we have a lot of clout. We have a lot of clout with God. We've got a lot. You know, so often we keep to ourselves that which we should be giving away, and so it kind of spoils in us. You know, when God does a blessing for you, I tell you what, we need to share that with other people. That's why God gave it to you. That's how you can use something like that. You know, and then God can give you more. But if you keep it, you know, it just, well, and you just get used to it and you're drowning your own, what do you say, fatness of soul, so to speak, right? We need to be lean, mean, God-given machines, right? Or whatever, right? Go out. Don't let this thing, don't let a form of godliness overtake us, right? We can't allow ourselves to do that. Right? Well, he warns there in the last part of that verse, verse 5 again says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Don't deny the power thereof. He says, from such turn away. Get away from people like that. They're not good for you. People will think that you're one of them. Or people will think that's how the church is. Or people think that's where God is. He's not real. How many people have told you that they think this whole God thing, this whole religious thing is a fraud? Right? That comes from people not trusting God. It comes from having that form of godliness, but not having the power thereof. You know, if we don't live a holy life, can we expect the power of God? If we're not out there doing God's work, can we expect to see God working in our lives and around us? I tell you, you got to live the Christian life to see the fruits and the benefits of the Spirit. We can't expect to sit back and get lazier or say it's old hat. You know, at the beginning, it really was entertaining in a lot. It was just like God just surprised. I didn't know God did that stuff. When He delivered me from alcohol, I was just shocked. I had never heard any kind of deliverance about God before. And He took me out of alcohol. And then He found my car keys. That was even more shocked, you know. I couldn't believe it. It was just a little thing, but it was me He was working with. And I didn't know God did that. And so many other things. So many, many, many other things. Well, you know what? It's still true today. It still is. Walk with God. Look, review your life. In this last year, I'll bet you if we could remember the details that we could not write down or even count the things God has done in our lives this year. And yet we take it as normal. Yet sometimes we don't even say thank you. Yet we just say, oh, well, and go on. You know, we don't share it with other people. We can do that. We can and we should be. God is alive. You know, when I first got saved, it was the biggest news I had. It really was. I couldn't, you know. So I went to my friends and that's exactly what I said. You know. And you know, some of them got saved. Some of them looked at me funny. Some of them turned away. The whole thing. But they all heard about it. And who knows what seeds were planted. You know, They may come back. Maybe I showed them a little bit of milk, and maybe someday they'll be thirsty for some milk or hungry, and they'll come back to what I told them about or something. So many people in our lives, we don't know about it. But don't let this formless, don't let religion become a form to you. You've got a relationship with a living Christ, a living God. And Paul is warning Timothy about these people. He's warning them, you know, their whole thing. They'll go out, there's ministers that go out and people that go out, and they'll have the form down perfect. They'll have the traditions in right and the whole thing. And the next verse there, verse 6 says, "For of this sort are they which creep into houses." Now it explains these ministers of this godless form. "Of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." I guess, ladies, you have to forgive them for the terms here. I was studying about this. Why did he say, you know, they only take silly women and the whole thing? I guess it was a particular problem in Ephesus where he was writing this. And in Ephesus, it happened to be that these false teachers particularly targeted women. And he would talk to them, and he'd find people that were laden with sin, that were hopeless, the whole thing, and they'd give him hope in whatever legalities he laid on them. You know? It was a godless form. They weren't looking to God. They weren't looking for Jesus Christ for forgiveness. They weren't looking for salvation through God or the power of God or anything like that. They were looking at almost like legalism. Getting back to that. And taking them captive with these silly forms. And you know, so often, you know, I don't understand, and I hope I don't offend anybody, I don't understand the denominations today that they baptize infants and say they're going to heaven because they've been baptized as babies. Is that a godless form or what? Okay, how to get to heaven? Take child, hold above water, dip twice, okay, on your way. You know? It has nothing to do with it. It doesn't. It's the power of God. And in our life, you know, we can't turn away. I tell you what, you stay open for God. You stay open. And when you find yourself in a hard spot between God and the world, you take God's way. You stand on faith. You walk in God's path. And, you know, and then you allow God to give you what He decides to give you, and what you don't, He doesn't. You know, sacrifice if need be. Integrity is what we need in our Christian walk. Integrity, the willingness to sacrifice, the willingness to take a loss rather than suffer in sin. We need to be that. It is required of a steward that he must be faithful. And you know, if we're going to be stewards of God, we must be faithful. We must. And you know, that's a message for the church, isn't it? In these times, in our life, in our time of life, be faithful. Let your faith come alive. Let it be renewed. Walk again in newness of the Spirit. In newness of the Spirit. Wow. It's exciting, right? Makes you want to go out and try it, doesn't it? It does, doesn't it? Hallelujah. You know, because, wow, look at the other way. And just look where the world's going to lead the church according to this. Where are these leaders or this falseness going to overtake? You know there's going to be a world religion. You know there's going to be an Antichrist, and he's going to have a very religious church. And it's going to have a lot of temples and the whole thing. And it'll have a lot of glamour, and it'll have government support, probably UN support. You know, and that's going to happen. But you know what? The real boss is still going to be who's ever the earthly boss. It's not going to be God that they're going to allow to rule this, unless it's the Antichrist. But we need to know the difference and hold on to that. There is something worth wrestling about here. There is something worth giving your life for here. There is something worth living for here. And He loves you. It's not a one-way street. Although sometimes, you know, that's you know how Jesus, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. He just set it there. You know, stone face. It's almost like a horse with blinders on. You're not taking me off of this road. I am going to Jerusalem. Even the disciples, you know, Peter said, "Oh, not so, Lord. Get thee behind me, Satan." You know, we need to set our face like flint to walk with God. To walk with God. You know, in my mind, sometimes, you know, we live in a world where there's all kinds of newfangled stuff. I mean, I don't know what newfangled stuff was 200 years ago, but we really got a lot of newfangled stuff now. We got so much newfangled stuff, nobody can keep up with it, right? Does anybody know how their cell phone works? I mean, anybody, the whole thing. I mean, there's so many diddle-dally things on there, bells and whistles and everything, that I don't think anybody knows how their whole thing works. right? And it's with TV controllers or our videotape recorders or computers or, you know, a thousand little different things out there. We live in that. And you know, but we got to, what, put on the blinders sometime and remember where we're going. Remember, this stuff of the world is going to pass away. In 6 months, your cell phone will be useless. They'll probably have a whole other system. Your computer's always outdated before you get it out of the box when you get it home, right? That's how it is. Knowledge is increasing. And, you know, knowledge today is their God, isn't it? It really is. It's knowledge. It's what you know, right? And that, and it just goes on. And there's a race for knowledge because knowledge could mean better equipment, better weaponry, what, you get advantage over someone else, the whole thing like that. That's knowledge. But you know what? We need to go for wisdom. Not knowledge so much. Wisdom. God, help us to walk eternally. God, at the end, when the game's over, when the life ends, where will we land then? And you know, we need to get that so indwelled in our heart that that's how we live. That's what we're looking for. And the world might go by like a whirl, right? You know? It might go by just like that, and it probably will. But you know what? You walk with God. You keep your focus on the eternal thing, and you'll have something at the end. You'll have something at the end, and you will never, ever, ever regret it. And wow, just think, never, ever, ever. I mean, forever. That's what you got at the end, forever and ever. Eternity, eternal life. And that's what Paul was telling Timothy there. Hold on to this stuff. Watch it. He said, don't be discouraged when you see the world take a different path than what you're taking. You stay on the right path. And then he described what the wrong path might be, right? There, verse 7 says, they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Isn't that true? You know, today they think that science has gone so much further than when this was written or the 200 years ago, you know, people, or the 100-year-ago preachers and all that thing. Science has become so much better. Medicine has improved. Just thinking, and they say we're evolving into more and wiser people and all that kind of thing. You know, baloney. They still can't solve anything. If it was getting better, crime should be down. People should love one another. There should be less murder. There should be less diseases. There's more diseases now than there's ever been. There's more psychological problems than there ever was in the past. The whole thing, because men have left God's way. We forget that God would really come in and minister to us if we walked with Him. You know, the world so much forgets that, and the church is forgetting that too. That God will really watch over us if we walk with Him. He really will make a way for you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. God is faithful. He will not forget. He is a living God. I just, you know, think about the Pilgrims and the Puritans when they first settled this country. Man, they looked, if things started to go haywire, they repented. They looked to God. God, have we forsaken Thee? God, have we offended Thee? And you know what? God did things for them. I forget what the governor's name was, but he even wrote in his diary about how God has kept us from all sickness. You know? After they got settled and got established, God was just working right with them. And you know, that's true with us too. Yeah, we'll find trials. Yeah, we'll find setbacks. But you know what? You're going to find God's hand is with you. He will work all things together for good. Just keep trusting Him. Don't give up. Don't give up hope. Right? Just keep walking with Him because He is that faithful for us. And then he uses an example here. He says, verse 8, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs also was. You know, this Jannes and Jambres, who are they? I tell you what, they're not mentioned anywhere else in the Bible. But it's believed that they're talked about when Moses went to Egypt. And he had the rod, and God said to put that down, and it turned into a serpent. And the whole thing, Jannes and Jambres were expected that they were Egyptian magicians, so to speak, who also stood toe-to-toe with them and put their sticks down, and they turned into snakes as well. You know, things like that. These are men that stood right toe-to-toe and tried to change people. Let's read verse 8 again now. It says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Isn't that the truth? You know, today they try to explain away miracles. They try to explain away your faith. They try to explain away the move of God by this is what happened, this is how it worked, the whole thing like that. You know, and you know, they act as if just because they discovered how God did it, that therefore it's not God. You know? Wow. It doesn't matter. God can do anything the way He wants to do it. right? It's up to him, you know? And God, just like Moses' serpent, ate those of the Egyptian magicians, you know? God's ways are higher than our ways, aren't they? And the enemies of God, you know? They really are. So, you know, and it says, like in verse 9, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. You know, that Jannes and Jambres, their ways were manifested before all men. Finally, they came back after several miracles and after several of the plagues, and they said, this is the act of God. We can't do this. We don't know how it was done. And you know what? We see in the book of Revelation, God manifests himself in greater and greater and greater ways, and still men's hearts are harder and harder and harder, and they refuse to turn from their sin, and they refuse to bow to God. They would rather die than serve God. I know a couple people like that, or so they say. You know? A sad situation, a sad situation. You know, verse 8 again, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate, or counterfeit concerning the faith. Counterfeit. There are people like that. Man, how many Christian leaders have we seen fall in the last 10 years or 20 years, right? So sad, so sad. It just goes to show that we're all human. We are. You know what? I hope that if I ever fall, that I admit it and step down or something, you know, or best of all, repent, you know. I hope that, I pray that God keeps me, that I won't fall. I trust God to do that. And, you know, when I find myself tripping, I repent as quickly as possible. You know, that's it. And that's got to be my life. I am apt to do anything that any of you are apt to do. You know, possibly more. You know, I need God. I do. And we need to remember that in our life. You know, none of us are here to magnify ourselves. We need to walk with God. We need to humble ourselves, submit ourselves to the Lord. And that's what God is calling us. You know, these perilous days we live in, I tell you what, they are a day of opportunity for us. They are. Where we can really get an opportunity to look, right? To look. Remember the power of the gospel. That's what this whole point is about. Here's a few more verses on that. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. It says this, it says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You know, there is power in this gospel. We will be saved by his life. It isn't a nice little story that ties up all the ends and the whole thing. You know, it is the truth. The condition of mankind is sin. We were lost. There is a God, and he hates sin. He is a holy God, but he loves us. And so he sent his son, and his son made a way for us if we so choose. We can be made new. We can be made the sons and daughters of God again. We can walk again, and we can look forward to restoration, renewal, regeneration, and to live eternally with him. It's a fact. And the world loved to paint that under, cover it up, go around it, scientific it out of existence if they could, right? But they can't, because God is, and God will reveal himself to his saints. God will do nothing unless he lets his saints know first. That's good to know. You can trust me, he'll keep you. He'll have you prepared. Let's close, shall we? Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning, Lord, for your word. And Father, I pray, Lord, for myself and for all of us, verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Lord, help us not to become such as that. As a church, as individuals, O Lord God, help us, O Lord, protect even our society and all the churches, Lord, in our society, Lord, from this. God, that your church might live forever and ever. And Lord, help us to obey your word, from such to turn away. Lord, we shouldn't be with people like that. We shouldn't listen to ministry like that. It might be comfortable. Tradition sometimes, ceremony sometimes, really draws us, O Lord. But help us, Lord, to forsake the habit and go to the living God. We just come to thee this morning. Lord, we ask, please keep us. Lord, keep our hearts alive to you. Help us, O Lord, to come to you, seeking and maintaining our first love with you. For your love for us never dies and never grows old in your heart. Lord, keep us. We pray again in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Boy, this Christian life, it asks for everything, doesn't it? But you know, what else you got, right? The rest is just empty. It's empty. It's dead end. It just goes nowhere. It really does. Wow. Well, let's take a few minutes and pray.